Hello everyone, this is the Red News Fanzine Podcast. Thank you all for listening, and thank you all for buying the mag. And if you don't buy the mag, buy the mag. But if you want to support us a little bit more, we also have a Patreon that you can sign up to, and it's patreon.com/rednews. Now, here's the podcast. Goodbye.
Right, we're just before kickoff. Red News Podcast 287 outside Crystal Palace. The sun is out. The skies are blue. Let that fucking please matter to the game, because I do not want the mood getting a kick in the bollocks. Hello, Sam, Ben. How was the journey? What time did you set off?
We set off at 6:30. It was dark. We had to scrape the car.
Ridiculous kickoff time. Yeah. Absolutely fucking ridiculous. But, I cannot reiterate about the fucking mood, and I do not want a kick in the bollocks like Monday. But I'm fearful, so I will bite your hand off about a draw. No, because then if we lose, then West Ham will fancy it. It's a shame.
If you want a prediction, it's 2-2. My hate of the week is 12 o'clock kickoffs and a pub at Norwood Junction serving me a £7 pint of Guinness in a fucking Coors glass. But the good thing is we got Human League, Don't You Want Me Baby, blaring out. Before kickoff,
so the music's been good.
The music has been good.
Give me help, Joanna.
We've had the 83 Cup Final song. We've had the Stone Roses. Now we've got the Human League. Life is good.
What's your prediction then?
2-2.
All right, I'm gonna go 1-0, but just please. Delo's in, Xerxy, just I don't know. I watched the Copa Libertadores last night. Palmeiras lost to Flamengo. Flamengo had loads, not many Palmeiras, but Palmeiras have done what we did in 92. They were top of the league in this final, and they haven't won the last five games, so they're going to lose the league on Wednesday. So I felt for them. We've had kicks in the bollocks. They've lost five, what, because of Andres Pereira?
No, I've just been to the Maracanã and I bought
this
Flamengo
was in Lima.
Top,
so. Did you see the cliff in the background?
I did, yeah. That it's got to be the nicest looking stadium backdrop
it fucking
I've ever
incredible.
Seen.
When did this turn into a South American podcast?
Take your football pass wherever you can go.
Should be talking I'm a celebrity or something.
Right, the Mind auction starts. I'm walking as of tomorrow. Please donate. We're up to £500. Got the new mag. There's an eBay auction. Assigned six things. Ruby Rax is on I'm a Celeb. She's the only person in the 90s. I went to America with mum. Virgin Atlantic, very nice. And she actually pushed in and said, I'm first class. I want to be seen first. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know who I am? I thought, you fucking wanker. Eric Cantona signed.
Oh, Kelly Brook.
Mate rang me up and said, guess who we signed? We went through a list, never guessed it. Apparently it's pronounced Curaçao. And Albert told me he's obsessed with the scores around the world. He went, oh, I said, went through all the teams I'd seen played in Portugal. I said, Boa Vista. He went, did you know they've just been relegated to Tier 5 for financial irregularities? No, I did not know that. Just random. People speaking on loudspeakers on buses and trains and that. Fuck off. That's my hate of the week. Right, you'll do the pods after. I'm not going to do. Get in. Have a good day. Let's win. Ben, well done for driving them. And you're sober today.
Up to now, yeah.
Well, who's driving later?
I'm driving home, so hopefully it'll stay that way.
All right, cheers, lads. Take care. Please.
$350.
All right, see you later, everyone.
Hello there. In the car on the way down, we've got Sam, Ben, it's me, Nick and Nathan. I think Barney's done a starting bit, hopefully outside, so I'll leave that out. Hopefully, if not, he can add on the podcast number. I'm going to go straight to Sam and Ben in the front. They've not been on for a while. I know, were you on in Bilbao, were you, Sam? I'm sure you probably maybe made an appearance at some stage on here. What were your thoughts from Monday, first of all, to start with? Because I know you had some... Yeah, and season as well so far. I know you had some good insights from what we were chatting about before, which we probably should have recorded earlier, but never mind. Who wants to kick us off with your thoughts from Monday?
Thoughts? Bland, boring. Yeah, it was effectively, as we were saying before, just reminded me of the Bilbao game. Just nothing to hang your hat on. Just dispiriting, no thrust, no excitement, and thoroughly deserved to lose.
Where's your United mojo at the moment? You know, you're obviously making a 6 a.m. start down to South London, so it must be somewhere decent, surely, in order to do that.
Mojo, I'd say limp is probably where.
Oh, you said your United mojo.
That's
Now, at the end of the day, it's not. No one's expecting us tonight to be firing on all cylinders, and you're just hoping for that little spark, that little kind of thing to hang your hat on, and just that something to go right. Yeah, is that United turning the corner? Who knows? It'll be today, but sun's shining. Ben's not crashed yet, so all is good.
Excellent. I had to jinx that. And are you confident for today?
Purely on the basis that Palace played in Europe, I think that gives us a little bit of an edge, maybe. But yeah, it's all thin margins.
Okay, Ben, what were your thoughts from Monday?
I mean, similar Monday, really. Monday was certainly at home the worst performance of the season by a mile. It was really, really poor performance. Tactically, got it wrong. And it was one of those games where you kind of knew within the first 10 minutes it wasn't going to happen. We just looked off the pace. They were sharper. They were winning the second balls. And I think from Everton's point of view, probably didn't really change the game plan that much, in the sense that they were always going to have a bit of a low block and be hard to beat. So it didn't really change things too much. But just the pace, it was just so lethargic. It was boring. We had those chances at the end, but we wouldn't have deserved a draw. So it was very disappointing. And as Sam says, it definitely had echoes of Bilbao in terms of the performance. I mean, the one thing I would say is, you know, we'll see how today pans out. But it has been better this season in general. Obviously, there was a couple of disappointing away performances early on, Brentford and City, Brentford in particular. But since then, it has been better, particularly at home. So hopefully it was just a blip, and we can kind of get
back. Stay in the right three lanes.
You know, get back to winning ways. I think today will be tough. You know, of all the fixtures in the run up to Christmas, this probably looks the hardest on paper. So I'm not necessarily confident today. But as we said earlier, the fact they played in Europe midweek, 3 days ago, should work in our favour. And they probably won't sit as deep as Everton did. So that should give us some room in behind as well. I don't know if Cunha's back in the side. I think we definitely missed him and Šeško. And Xerxes in particular. You know, again, we were saying before, there was a stat, wasn't there, that he was the fifth deepest lying player on average in the game, or six. So there was like five players more advanced than him, and he was supposed to be the centre forward. So that was an issue.
Speed camera ahead.
So we'll see. But I think regardless of what happens today, you know, we certainly need to get back to winning ways against West Ham and Bournemouth. And what worries me, if you look at Monday, the blueprint for Nuno was there, wasn't it? West Ham are going to play exactly the same way, and that could be another tough game. And what worries me is if we have 2-3 bad results and performances, we're kind of back to square one again, aren't we? And the pressure's really on, which I don't think any of us want. So
I think everything seems like it's a tough game, though. Even West Ham and Wolves aren't going to be easy, no matter how bad they've been so far this season, because I think we're so easy to play against. And, you know, you said about the first 10 minutes against Everton. I mean, they walked through our midfield 3 times before they went down to 10 men. You know, you're right, I think the writing was a little bit on the wall there. I thought we would kick into gear after the red card. I thought it would click, but, you know, I know there's been a lot of hate, especially on Twitter, towards Xerxes and stuff. And I mean, I've made my thoughts on him clear. I don't think he's good enough, but, you know, I do feel a bit sorry for him, considering he's not had the minutes and he's expected to be the focal point for it as well. He's a little bit rusty. You know, we mentioned it earlier as well about Yoro being the extra man on the edge of the box. It just didn't look like it had any form of plan B from what we had. And I think that's been one of Ruben's failings so far this season. And you're right, it has been better, but there's just this, you know, we just sort of seem to capitulate in the second half. I look at Forest, I look at Spurs, you end up 2-1 down after leading, you know. And there's that stat that kept going around up until Monday, which is, and I know games don't end at half time, but if they did, we would have been top. It's not in terms of, oh, look how great we are. It's worrying that in the second half there doesn't seem to be anything different that we're coming out with in the second half to try and kill a game off or anything. And I think this is why teams are going to be in this against us. And I'm not confident today. I'm not. I think Palace are a better side. They've got a better manager. And I think we'll probably get beat again today. But my major concern is we don't look like we're going to keep clean sheets, even though the goalkeeper's better and we're all in agreement, certainly as we said before, that it's better. We just don't look like we can shut a team out and just try and nick a goal. You know, even when it's been better at home and you've beaten, you know, Brighton, for example, you know, it was 4-2, you know, you still can see goals out of nowhere. So that's what my major concern is with this at the moment. So I still think that I feel like we will get beat today. We'll go to score predictions, I guess, but I'll hear from Nathan, because you were on a Monday, though, weren't you?
And I think one thing that I don't think was mentioned on Monday night is, to be fair, that Pickford had a worldie of a game. Do you know what I mean? Like, on another day, Xerxes probably would have scored one of those headers. Do you know, like, we did have chances, but, like, I think we mentioned before, what was it? He had a, like, if you're basing his saves on percentages, like...
12% chance of making that save.
And, you know, whereas yesterday he fucked one up. So it's like, he just had one of those games where he just wasn't going to concede.
And a red card can do that to you, galvanises you and stuff.
But today, I'm a bit cautious as well. I'm not overly optimistic. And I know that we've had a bit of back and forth on it, but I still think the fact that, you know, Cunha's not in the squad again, you know, Sesko, that's thing. Like, I feel like I'm a broken record, but when we are relying majoritively on last year's squad, we shouldn't be surprised when we're doing results like last season. Do you know what I mean? Like, we are going to miss them again. So, will we win? I very much hope so, but I wouldn't be surprised if we don't. I think, like, as has already been said, you know, we have got that advantage that they played, what, 48 hours ago? Like, quite, you know, this isn't good for them, that it's not good.
It was the first team as well.
That, you know, they played on Thursday night away from home in Europe, and it's 12 p.m. on a Sunday. That's not good for them, turnaround. So hopefully that'll play to our favour. But no, I do agree that we need someone else to back and boom up with some attacking threat, because that's what we lacked on. And I know I'm like sort of like hit I can't think of the word, but Xerxes did have a couple of chances the other day, but he didn't grab the game by the scruff of the neck. That's what we need. We need someone to do that, which I do think that Cunha does. So we do need, like, Bruno to step up. We need someone else, because Mbeumo can't do it all himself. So
I thought Ahmad played all right on Monday night, to be fair. I thought he was the only person who looked like he was going to make something happen. But I think as well, when you spend so much money on someone like Mbeumo, I would have expected more of him against 10 men on Monday. I'm not going to criticise him, because I think he's been great this season, but I thought he was particularly poor though on Monday though, in that one game. But I think that you're right. I think that you do need a focal point in Sesko. I'm not going to give you your Cunha jab just yet, because I still think he could be a lot better than what he's supposed to be. I still think he's going to give us moments, but I'm not convinced that he's going to be the answer, and probably would have changed much on Monday, if I'm being honest with you. But I think that I know people said about playing with five or six defenders, I think, at one stage against them, just shows that lack of insight. And I think that you should be bringing on someone like a Shay Lacey off the bench. I'm not saying that he's the answer or put too much pressure on him, but if he's your only attacker on the bench and you're leaving someone like Yoro as your man to do all the creativity, as they left him unmarked on the edge of the box, I just thought it was really, really bizarre. So I'm hoping this is a big sort of kick up the arse for the players to think today is we need to win today. There's a lot more pressure on them, and hopefully it might fire them up a bit. I don't know.
It's a huge game today, but as was Monday. I mean, every game in the league is a massive. We've got no cups at the moment, no Europe, and you know, it was opportunities to what would have been in the top four, wouldn't we, if we'd won on Monday? So yeah, I mean, if you'd have looked at it at the start of the week, you'd have probably said, you know, beat Everton and Palace looks at the harder of the two games. You know, you'd take a draw maybe, but having lost on Monday, we do need a win today. Mm-hmm. Tactically on Monday, to go back to what you're saying there, I mean, he just got it completely wrong, didn't he? He was just schooled, really. And keeping three centre-halves on the pitch against 10 men...
Well, like you say, was madness. Mount was warming up straight away after the sending off. Thought, right, oh, yeah, he's clocked that this might be a good time to change. But did he change? Did he bollocks? It was still sort of the three at the back. And it's, you know, you're saying the players need a sort of a boot up the arse, but I think the manager needs to look in the mirror as well at certain points. And it's kind of, yeah, we're all sick and tired of talking about the three in the back system, but ultimately not all of us can be wrong. Yeah, he's paid to know more about football than us, but there's a lot of people in the stadium who can see something that's not quite right, and yeah, he's not changing it.
And it's fine that that's his system he likes to play, and it has, you know, it has been working better this season in the last couple of months. It, you know, it has looked a bit more effective. But to be that wedded to it, that you know, when a team go down to 10 men and you're chasing a game, and all the players, you know, is your centre halves, and you know, you've got one of them basically playing right wing, who's the opposition are not even bothering to, you know, everybody could see that, and at that point you've got to ditch it, haven't you? You've got to change things quicker and be more flexible with it. So I think he definitely, you you know, has to take a lot of responsibility for Monday. Did you say Cunha's still out, is he?
Yeah.
I mean,
and Sesko.
Yes, I knew Sesko was longer, yeah. I think Cunha's a big loss, and for me, I think what he could have changed on Monday was just getting a bit more aggression into it. You know, he plays at a faster pace because we were just ambling around.
Yeah.
So just someone who can drag us up the pitch a bit quicker.
That's what I mean. Someone just to grab the game by the scruff of the neck. I think he, like you say, even when it was 0-0 and before the red card the other day, you could just, like you say, you could just tell it was very slow, and that, you know, a team like Everton coming to Old Trafford, they'll love that. They can sit behind the ball for 80, 90 minutes and just take that. Like, you know, we didn't have that threat. So
you've not got that manager that's going to gamble. And I know, not to go back onto Fergie, but he said, look, if you're losing with 10 minutes to go, why would you not throw everything at it to try and win a game? And it just didn't feel like that's what we wanted to do. I know we keep going back on Monday, but I feel like this is a game that we'll keep going back to throughout the course of this season, because I just wonder how telling it's going to be from Ruben's reign. Because so far, I mean, if I said to you that, I know we didn't get beat at Anfield, but if we'd lost that game, I think the mood would be really, really different throughout that period, you know, that we had, where it was like, well, maybe Ruben might be the answer, and is it all clicking into gear? But the thing is, though, is that everybody beats Liverpool now. How good was that result, really? Do you know what I mean? They get beat every week. You know, it's the worst run of form since 1953. Just want to mention that one. So it's kind of like, really, how much better has this season been? I don't know. And I think that this period now is where, okay, maybe you can say you get a draw today, it might still be a decent result. Palace, FA Cup winners, all of that, they're having no idiots. But those games against West Ham and Wolves coming up, that has to, there's no negotiation, that has to be 6 points in those two games moving forward. If this programme and this, whatever this is, process for the next couple of years is going to go anywhere, you should be able to win that with Xerxes up front and stuff. So I just don't know. I'm just in this bit of a mindset still, really, where I just don't think that we are kicking forward. I just think it's just a bit. I hope today I can be proved wrong.
I definitely think
should take advantage of that European.
I definitely think that we've improved, but I think that is because we've signed some better players. Do you know? I think that's the whole point of making these signings. No, I think it is. I do think it is. I think he's signed players that fit his, which is why, when we're lacking a couple of them, like we were the other day, like we're going to be again today, that's why we don't look as good. And that's why, hopefully, come January and next summer, the more players that we bring in that will be better for, suited for it, that we will improve.
I think we all, you know, recognise that we weren't going to address all of our problems in
one
transfer
window. No, exactly, it's impossible to do that.
And, you know, I said it against Brighton, you know, when we've got our strongest 11 on the pitch, we look a half-decent side.
Yeah.
You know, not world beaters, but we look half decent. But the depth behind that really isn't there. So even in that Brighton game, when you had Sesko, you had Kuhn, you had Mbeumo, and then as soon as he took them off and like Xerxes comes on, you can see the levels dropping.
Exactly.
And obviously then when those players are injured and not there from the start, the levels do definitely drop. Like, I think Sesko, he's had a few critics this season. He's not had a brilliant start, but what he does well for me is he wins the ball in the air and he holds it up and brings others into play.
Yeah,
Xerxes is not capable of doing that. So the difference was massive there for me on Monday. Between those two, so you know the squad depth definitely isn't there, and I suppose we've got to be realistic, haven't we, how quick we expect this improvement to be. I think there definitely has been improvement, but you're not going to go from sort of 15th, 16th, wherever we were, to sort of challenging for the title in one season. We're probably where
Leicester
we should
did
be
it, though.
Well, they did but that was a freak, wasn't it? You know, our target this season has got to be in and around those European places, and I think as long as that remains the case, it's probably going to be alright. And at the moment, although we're in 10th, what are we? We're only like 3 points off 4th, something like that.
Yeah, it's tight.
So it's tight, but if we lose a couple more before Christmas and drop into the bottom half of the table, then I think he could still be in trouble. And I think ultimately with Ineos, if he doesn't get us into Europe this season, I think they'd probably pot him, whatever they're saying publicly, because they, you know, it's not that great this year, is it? You look at the standard, all the teams that are dropping points, Newcastle, Spurs.
Especially when we've got that sort of apparent advantage of not playing in Europe.
I mean, it's only Arsenal that seem to be winning consistently, and I mean, Chelsea have had a bit of a bout of the last couple of games. City can be capable of it if they pull the finger out, but yeah, you're right, there isn't really anyone that's doing, everyone seems to be beating everyone. It's almost like the Championship, where you look at that table and it's always tight every year. So
other than Arsenal, like I said, there's a lot of inconsistency. So
what about predictions for today? I'll go to you two first.
I'll go 2-1 United.
Love it. Ben?
I'm going to go for our favourite away day result of a Desmond.
It's a 2-2, just in case anyone.
Thanks. I don't want to, but I do think we'll lose. I think we might lose 1-0.
Yeah, I fear it might be. We might go 1-0 up because of the European thing, and Palace will figure out what we do in the second half. So, sadly, I hope I'm wrong, but I'm going to go for 2-1 Palace, I think, sadly. Has anyone got any hates of the week, other than the fact it's a 12 o'clock kickoff on a Sunday? Anybody got anything?
Nice drive.
It's been a lovely drive, to be fair. But any hates? I'll tell you mine. The amount of Black Friday emails I've had this week has really annoyed me from everybody. Just hate. Why do I need so many black? Argos have emailed me 4 times yesterday. 4 times. It wasn't even Black Friday. What's that about? Sick of it. Annoyed me.
Anything? Not really.
No. No. I'm sure you'll find one on the way back.
We'll have one for on the way back.
Christmas in November. Bar humbug.
Right. And on that note, glory, glory, Man United. Right. Welcome. We're currently in a pub called The Smoking Grill, apparently, is not a bar. Smoking Grill bar.
It's a restaurant.
It's a restaurant.
It's a restaurant that just happens to be the only place that serves beer.
Yeah, true. In Kenley, which has turned out to be quite a great spot, this, by the way. We've got dog walkers, countryside views. This is very quaint for...
You can tell all the locals come here on a Sunday, don't they?
There is nobody in here as well, to be fair. The food's been nice, beer's all right. We've just watched Manchester United beat Crystal Palace by 2-1. A pleasantly surprised one. Nathan and I were working out the last time we saw Man United win a domestic away game, and it's not
in
like
person.
I don't in person, yeah. And it's not like I don't go. You know, I've done all 3 aways this month. The last time I saw a domestic away game was before COVID, which was Derby County in the FA Cup when we beat them 3-0. And the last Premier League away win that I saw was Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's 5-1 win at Cardiff in his first ever game as manager. So how ridiculous is that as a stat, by the way?
It is ridiculous. And firstly, congratulations on your first win in the capital, because you've never seen us win other than Wembley in London, Nick. So congratulations.
I haven't,
on that.
No, and I thought I was a curse, and I thought once it's Palace out of the way, the only unloving team that I've never seen as that was Fulham. So I was thinking I've only got one more shot really to try and get a win off on my first. That was great. That I really enjoyed that. That first half.
The second half.
I thought the first half was really poor. I thought both teams were really poor. Yeah. Both kept giving the ball away. You know, didn't think anybody covered themselves in glory in the first 45 minutes, even on both sides of the pitch. And it took a really questionable, scabby replay of a penalty to get them off the mark, which is
definitely a penalty.
Which is definitely a penalty, but it's ridiculous that you can mess up and then be able to retake a penalty. Yeah. Forever, someone's going to have to explain that to me, and I still won't understand.
We've just been
chatting
to a couple of Palace fans on the train back out here, and they were saying, you know, the same. Surely, if you mess it up, then you know,
it's your fault.
You've essentially committed a foul. Yeah. It's a free kick to the opposition.
Does really does it again by accident? Does he get to retake? Keep on going.
It's very unlikely, I suppose, isn't it? So, but there was an example in the Champions League. I think it was Atletico versus Real Madrid, but it was in a penalty shootout. And I think the rules were apparently, I don't know if this is true, but this was certainly this calendar year, that they lost the penalty shootout by that same rule, and he didn't get to take his penalty again. He got it chalked off. Anyway, positives only. We've won the game. I did think it was a bit of a scrappy first half. Say, second half was brilliant. I know we criticised Ruben on the way down for tactical, maybe it was me, for tactical adjustments and stuff like that, you know, to try and find a way to get back in the game in the second half. And I thought he made those. I thought, as much as I like Lenny Oro, and I do really like him, I thought he really struggled today. I thought the penalty was apparent. I know he did a good block. But other than that, he looked like he was vulnerable. And the substitution to bring Mazraoui on again, as Ben called it on the way down, he's better as the right of the three.
Yeah.
Just made us look so much better in the second half.
Yeah.
You know, we still don't pass the ball well enough out the back. I thought Casemiro was utterly woeful today. I thought his pass completion percentage must be about 10%. It was that bad. But we still managed to irk out a win again. And it's these set pieces that are still clinging us in there, where we're almost like Tony Pulis's Stoke City. Hello, Nathan.
I think they were both really well taken set pieces, weren't they? Like, I think unless the first free kick pass to Xerxes was just a really, really bad cross, if that was meant, then that was brilliant, because it just like was straight to him. Like, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that they meant that.
We won, so we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. If we didn't win, we would not give him.
And then again, the second one, like, you know, rather than having a chance, he laid it off. It was fair play.
Was anybody ready for that? Because it didn't look like everyone's caught on surprise. Even Mount, it was like, oh shit, better hit it.
But I think
great. Great. Maybe that's how we have to take set pieces in the pitch.
Yeah. I think. I think when we went one behind, I was like, oh, here we go again. I think it was. But like, yeah, hate of the week is, like we say, the penalty. If you fuck up, you shouldn't be able to do it again. But came out second half, I thought, I don't know what changed other than that Mazwari substitution. We just seemed like, I said to Shane, like, I think it was when we were actually 2-1 up at the time, I think, and it felt like we had more urgency then than we did when we were behind.
Maybe it's because they were tiring, you know. Say they played on Thursday, you know. We didn't think the game was going to go that way, but it looked like it might have done.
First half, towards the end, you could tell they were going. Yeah, they were starting to struggle in terms of their legs, and you could see all the subs they were making. So towards the end of the second half, they definitely haven't got in. We were chatting to some Crystal Palace fans before, and they were saying, "Well, they got this. You reckon they've only got 13 players or 13 first teamers." And that, yeah, that
he was exaggerating slightly.
Yeah, but well, yeah, he didn't like your mate or that lad. You wanted to, what's the guy, striker up front
Mateta,
for them? Yeah, Mateta.
Yeah, they don't rate Mateta.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah. Okay, I thought it looked like he caused us a few problems in the first half a little bit. Our defence didn't seem to like him, did they? Really?
I think that was one of the good things about Mazwari. There was one thing off. Particularly where he held him off really well, because he's a big lad, that Mateta, isn't he? And Mazwari had took control of him at one point. I thought that you could tell the other defenders were properly like giving him like high fives and stuff for the way he dealt with him at that point. But
yeah, there's a lot of high fiving today. I enjoyed it really in that respect. But they looked up for it, and I think, you know, we've questioned urgency and we questioned were we going to get a reaction today. And obviously that game against Liverpool, we're thinking, you know, was that the outlier? Was it a bit of a fluke? And I don't know. I mean, coming to a team like that and winning, that is a really great result. Make no mistake about it. That is a very good result.
It's a big result. I think when we looked at we talked about on the way down the fixtures, other than maybe Villa away, this was the toughest one on paper between now and Christmas. So it's a big win. However, I think the other thing we talked about was, you know, the fact they played in Europe on Thursday, I think that definitely came into it, didn't it? You could see, particularly once we went ahead, I think their legs, they looked very leggy, but we've got to take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we're not in Europe, and after Ligue 1, so when we come and play these teams, and they've got small squads, then we do have to take advantage.
I think, as I said, that covering tackle by Shaw in the end of the first half, that was the big moment, because you go 2-0 down just before half-time.
You're not coming back, are you? No.
Not this team.
I don't know what that guy was doing. He looked like he was taking an absolute age to get his shot off.
And didn't he have, like, he could have passed it as well. Do you have another person up front with him?
Bizarre, really. I mean, to be fair, Lammons didn't really have anything to do today other than the penalty. I mean, he saved one shot that was at him. Other than that, he was pretty quiet. Both keepers were reasonably quiet as well. It wasn't like a game full of, like, you know, mad chances.
Well, they had a really good one in the first half, didn't they? And he put it wide. That was another one where it sort of bounced off Yoro. Like, I agree with that. He was struggling. So fair play to the manager for seeing that and deciding to take him off. I think another thing that I said before about just grabbing the game by the scruff of the neck, I think that Mount played real. Like, he obviously scored, but I think he did well today. I think he was all over, and like he was putting in tackles high up. He was up for it, really.
To be fair, I'm still trying to figure out what Mason Mount is. I know we've said that on here a few times, and I still not know if he's great or if he's not in this Man United version that we've got. But I mean,
I think at the moment we look better with him on the pitch. Mm-hmm. I would say.
He just recycles the ball a lot of the time, and that's okay. You know, you need someone that's going to keep possession of things as well. You know, so I'm not against that. One thing that I absolutely loved today was, I don't think I've ever laughed going 1-0 down before, but hearing the Wenger boys boom, 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 which was just absolutely, I mean, how can you not smile when you go 1-0 down and hear this and then you hear them singing it?
We'll probably have to stop this for copyright in so many seconds.
But yeah. And the best part is, though, is that they were at Manchester Cathedral two nights ago. So there's the Manchester connection twist.
Were you there as well?
I was not as well.
My brother was there. My brother went to them.
Anyway, moving on.
Is obviously, I think it's still weird that you play songs after you've scored, but then to play a really like upbeat song at the end of the game when you've just lost. I loved that all the United fans, was it Daft Punk, wasn't it?
Yeah, one more time.
And the fact that all the United fans got up and were like proper going for it, singing along to it after the team, the home team, have just lost. Like we were saying, we really hope that'd be nice if there becomes a chant on that song that in the future. And it's
one
like
one of those moments, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just captures.
So when we were walking, there was someone who like made it into like a Xerxes song, wasn't
it? Which
is
quite funny, actually.
We had that as well, funnily enough, yeah.
So maybe that'll become a thing because he did score as well today, so maybe. But it's one of them where it's like a moment, isn't it, wherein it'll just become a thing, so hopefully that'll be the case.
Well, it's tough, isn't it? Because, you know, there's not really any songs about the current players other than Bruno. I don't think anyone else has got a chant after in the starting 11, so even if it's something as tangible as that to get something going, you know, it's still quite...
Who deserves one, though?
Well, that's different, yeah, I suppose. But,
Martinez.
Martinez has got...
It's
nice to see him back, actually. That's another good positive as well, because it's always nice to have a bit of depth on there as well. You know, hopefully him coming back maybe put Shaw on at left wing back. I don't know. You know, does one keep the other out of the team? I suppose we'll see, won't we, over the coming weeks. But I mean, to have Shaw as an extra player that can be on that left hand side whipping balls in, maybe that is the answer at wing back, and it means that you can put off buying Semenyo to next year, and maybe you can spend the money on a centre midfielder.
I mean, whether Shaw can get up and down for a full 90 minutes, but maybe he's a player to bring on when you are chasing him, because you know he can definitely put a good ball
in. Definitely. Well, we were saying this, weren't we? We were moaning about him not being on that position on Wednesday night. Barney's had a few notes as well, which I've unprofessionally not got up ready on my phone, but I will get them ready for you. He had some thoughts which were long-winded, and he's put, I've mentioned 10 billion times on the last few pods. This is very...
I know, they've just turned the music up.
This is not very Daft Punk. I've mentioned 10 billion times on the last few pods about keeping the mood. To reiterate the point, with a hammer like Ron Jeremy's knob in a 1970s porn set, today was that defined. The half-time anger moans justified, the fear back to a totally different second. Which we needed, which lifts the mood, so fair play, we've come back a couple of times. This season for draws, I didn't think we'd even do that today. There's a spirit there, but it can still be so bad and half decent in the same game. Big win, let's hope the mood remains in games ahead. No Monday gloom, which, as you know, for me is very important. Safe journey home, Reds, can't be said enough. 12, I'm assuming it's 12 o'clock kickoff on a Sunday is utter turd. My Christmas wish is a midfielder. Buy the mag Thursday, please, and support our Mind campaign. Barney starts walking at 7:30 a.m. tomorrow. That's nothing, Barney. I was up at 5:10. and fair play, Xerxes and Mal for internal grr and lots of first half. United, eight. What a team to support. Plus, we have a 1+ goal difference now. Get in.
Yes.
Get in.
All I want for Christmas is a plus goal difference.
And a midfielder, apparently, as well. So
one of the things he said there, I think, is like, you know, about the momentum. Like we were talking about it on the way down. If we'd lost today, you know, off the back of the Everton defeat, you're going into like West Ham and another defeat. Potentially, you're right into a crisis again.
Yeah.
Whereas now, having won that today, you're thinking, you know, you're feeling a lot more confident about if we can beat West Ham, if we beat Wolves. All of a sudden, you've got four wins, you know, three, four wins on the bounce. Yeah. You know, Wolves, West Ham, Bournemouth, and it just changes the game, doesn't it? Like. That goal from Xerxes came out of nowhere, really.
Yeah.
But it just changed the face of the game completely. Like, all of a sudden, they started to look really tired. Yeah. You know, we got on the front foot. We were playing with momentum, confidence, and you know, so it was a really big win today. And I don't think Sam predicted 2-1 on the way down. I'll give him that, but you know, don't think anyone else did. So
never in doubt, Sam.
Write down the date, because it's not often I'm right. So I'll take it all day long.
Let's hope you're right. One more time and predict a United win next week.
And the music that's on is a piano version of The Winner Takes It All. So what more can you ask
The winner
for?
Did take it all today. What a lovely, lovely way to end that on that note. Thank you very much. Please buy the mag as well. And as I say, yeah, Barney is walking from tomorrow. So if you can try and sponsor on the Mind campaign. I think we're still kind of all figuring out what we're doing yet. But we will be doing something.
Palace away.
Driving back from Palace away is far enough in itself. So, right, well, kisses, love you all. Glory, glory, Man United. To the regiment. Get Daft Punk one more time on your playlist.